This week in cinema, It's Too Bad swings a coat hanger at James Wynn's Birdemic, Shock and Terror. Take flight with us on the It's Too Bad podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to the It's Too Bad podcast. My name is Jason.
I'm Ted.
And we're in the middle of October.
Yeah, we are.
Doing these bad horror films. There's so many to choose from.
There really was.
It was kind of hard to narrow it down for this month. Luckily, we have an extra little week next week, so that's something you get to look forward to. An extra...
Is that a bonus episode?
Bonus podcast and episode.
On the same day?
On Halloween.
Are we sure we can do that? Is that legal?
I don't know.
Wow.
But this week... We took a step back into the world of Birdemic
and
stepped
what a world.
In something.
There was something we stepped in. The director, man, he did a great job on this one.
Okay, so James Wynn, he thinks pretty highly of his ability.
Yeah.
This is not his first film, so the delusions should have worn off.
Right.
You would first think, couple.
Yeah, I mean, the first few, you get it. You know, you're making your first few films, you might have some hiccups. But this one still has those first film charms.
They sure do.
They say.
What's really strange is I watched his very first film, and I think it's better than Birdemic.
So are you saying he's taken a step back for
yes,
Birdemic?
Yes, and I guess maybe it's because this is like something he's wanted to do for years, and so he waited until he got the experience to really put it out there, but... He didn't polish anything by the time he got around to doing it. Like, it's probably
right.
Still the first thing he ever thought of doing.
And this was made for how much money?
$10,000.
$10,000. Okay.
Yeah.
So someone handed him $10,000.
Just like El Mariachi.
How would he... Oh, man. But what two different lives we're living there.
Yes.
So someone hands you $10,000, Jason.
Yeah. Thank
and,
you.
And says, I want you to make a film.
Uh-huh.
And you come back with Birdemic.
Uh-huh.
What do you think the investor would have said?
So where's the movie?
Okay. That's a start. Was the investor probably in the film?
I don't know.
How do you raise $10,000 to make this?
I don't know where he got the money from. I mean,
maybe a small loan. Who knows?
Yeah.
We should ask him.
He does live with his parents.
Oh.
And there's a Vice episode of a nice little show they do called Outsider, which is kind of looking into these weird films, Birdemic being one of them, and you get to see in a crib style manner his bedroom that also is his edit bay that he shows off his computer that he edited Birdemic on.
What does that look like?
You know, like a 2001 Dell with a big CRT monitor.
So
and everything.
Great.
He's got Hitchcock posters like all over his room.
Are they framed or just put on the wall?
They're just pinned up.
Oh, that's so cool.
And so it looks like Dawson's room in Dawson's Creek.
Maybe.
Throwback for the kids.
Yeah, he staged that right like it. He was like, you know what I like? Dawson's Creek's room.
So maybe he got money from his parents. Maybe he had some. He makes these characters that are all him. And so they all work in computer software.
Okay.
And that's his... That's his job.
So that's real life experience. He wrote a real life experience character, which usually ends up better than
the
other ones.
They tell you, write what you know.
Yeah. Well, man, he knows that character, but he doesn't know a Birdemic.
Which isn't even a thing.
So. Well, no, not really. Yeah, good call. Good call.
So we have Rod, who's the main... I guess he's the protagonist.
He's
surely unlikable.
In every sense of the word.
I don't want to follow him for a whole movie, but we had to.
Right.
He is super awkward. He can't speak English.
No.
And he almost has an accent, almost like he's reading the words that James Wynn wrote in his accent exactly verbatim.
Which is a nice character choice, I think, for him.
For a white man with a Vietnamese accent.
Right. I don't think these actors got paid.
I don't know.
I don't even think they're getting royalties for this.
I doubt it.
No, there's no way.
And then you have, what's the girl's name? I don't even know.
I will look it up.
Okay.
That is a great question. That can't be right. Nathalie?
Natalie.
Really? The H is silent on IMDb? I'm going to call her Nathalie.
Okay.
Whitney Moore is the actress.
Okay.
She seems like a fun person.
Yeah.
Oh, and she was in Sex School. The movie Sex School.
Sounds about right.
So she made Birdemic 2.
Yes, they came back for Birdemic 2.
Good that, you know. What a fun memory that would be. Everyone
Even
coming back.
Though in the Vice episode, they interview both Nathalie and Rod.
Yeah.
And they kind of are weary of even being interviewed about it because they say it was such a weird and not so great experience to shoot the first one. They came right back for the second one.
Yeah, money talks, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it does.
She's only 27.
Huh. So she was like 21 when this came out?
Something like that.
Interesting.
It's very strange.
So, you know, wide-eyed, you know, new girl in Hollywood right. Had to get that first role in.
Well, it was better than the alternative, I think.
Yes, exactly. So... she's a model.
She is a model.
And she gets this big deal with Victoria's Secret.
Good for her.
Yeah.
And they seem to know each other from school, right? Am I?
Yeah.
Okay, so they went to the same school together, but...
they're from San Jose and now living in San Francisco.
Not a jump. Not a big jump.
No, just across the bridge.
Right.
And...
not a shock.
So when he asks her, did you go to San Mateo High School, I think it was? And she said, yeah, how'd you know? Because I've been stalking you from across the restaurant, actually.
Well,
he didn't eat his food. He just watched her and then left.
As a stalker would do.
Yeah. And she says, yes, she did. And then they were in the same English class. And then he proceeds to ask, so did you grow up around here? Are you from here? No, because she went to school with you elsewhere.
Which you just found out.
Like the sentence before.
Which is why this man is so awkward.
And from there on, it just goes on and on.
But a budding romance from the start.
They hit it right off, which is crazy because she's a good-looking gal and
right.
He's very awkward. He's what you would imagine a computer programmer might be. Or a computer, not even a programmer. I guess he's a salesman for computer software.
He doesn't even program it.
Okay, so.
But he has $1 billion now, right? They sold the
somewhere
company.
Somewhere in the middle somewhere of after their first date or so.
Okay.
They sell off the company, and he's had this epiphany because some guy came and sold him solar panels.
Right. Oh, that's a fun scene.
Yeah, it was. Because he showed you where he could put them.
Yeah.
On the roof.
On the roof.
Where rather would, than where in the basement, you... where everyone else would assume.
I would think that would be where they go.
Because the heat of the ground right. Would just...
Eyesores.
Yeah, they are. You got to hide those things. So now he's, because of the news of global warming that's on the TV, also, can we talk about that? The anchor takes up the bottom 12th of the screen.
Yes.
And they just have a big old picture-in-picture of things going on, also stolen from Getty Images. I don't know if you noticed.
Very nice.
That the watermark really on some of that footage they're showing on the news.
Good stuff.
So he's decided that he's going to save the world, and he uses his money to make a solar panel company that's new green tech. It's brand new. It's going to revolutionize green tech.
This is great.
And then he sells
Is that why the
products.
Birds are angry?
Maybe. We never really know.
If you had $1 billion, would you start a green tech company? Or would you just live?
I feel like, I don't know how much he invested in that, but I imagine that it would cost hundreds of millions of dollars to start the new technology.
Right, because you have to find it first. You have to create this
new
technology.
Right, you have to hire research and development. You have
right,
to go through all these
paces.
Right,
this isn't just something he could just decide to do.
Right, so how much of that billion did he spend?
Well, that's, I don't know if he did. He get the just $1 billion?
No, I guess not. It must have been split up.
Split up between those 17 people in the room
so
clapping.
You figure more than a million. You know,
yeah, he's
10
got
million each.
Yeah, he's got money.
Yeah, but then he makes this product, and is so excited to get someone to invest in this product that he just paid for already.
This is so great for him.
Yeah, it is.
This and guys, this is in the first 20 minutes. This podcast has gone on for a little bit longer, it feels like. But that movie, I mean, that should be it, right? We're talking about a guy making solar panels and changing the world.
Yeah.
In steps in birds.
Yeah, steps, flies.
Flies. Well, so, flies is a... That's a
in
nice...
flaps.
Okay, flaps
the birds. Okay. After a lovely night in a hotel, because apparently neither one of them have a place to go back to.
No, not when you're a millionaire. You're going to go get one of those rent by the hour motels.
Exactly.
With your Victoria's Secret model girlfriend.
Well, you want to be able to walk out of that hotel room together and have people in the parking lot see that you were with her.
True.
I think is it.
Okay, that makes sense.
There are a couple of sex scenes in this movie, and they're all in hotels.
That is where this director thinks sex takes place. Only in hotels.
It has to. By law.
He sees hotels and he just goes, oh, what?
I know what's going on in there.
Yeah, filthy, filthy things.
Den of iniquities. So they wake up in the morning to the sound of scritch scratching on the windows.
What could that be?
It's a looped wave is what it is.
Oh, well, it's not that frightening.
And as they pull open the curtain, we have this clip art anime GIF bird just peeking in, just floating in the same spot.
Just saying hello. Good morning.
She actually doesn't seem that concerned with it. She just kind of closes the curtain like, if I don't look, maybe it'll go away.
Isn't that? Yeah. That's kind of what
I feel like birds would do that.
No, the bird would just fly away at that point. There's no need to hang out.
But their first instinct is to put a bed up against the door so that the birds can't get in.
So they felt threatened right away.
Immediately.
And you guys have seen birds. We've all seen birds. Yeah. And I don't think anyone's really felt threatened right away.
I'm not sure James Wynn has seen birds.
No, he might have seen an actual bird or the movie Birds. He's been lying to everybody.
Right. Birds not a big threat. I mean, even when you see them in bulk. You know, you see a flock of birds, just pigeons just sitting, hanging out.
It's unnerving to see a bunch of birds just kind of stare at you. But if you open the window and there was a bird pecking someone's eyes out, then you start to wonder. Even then, you don't really board up the room. You kind of shoo it away.
Right.
It will
throw something out the door and then shut the
door
again.
Right.
And they'll all scatter.
Right. But this is a whole new adventure they're going on now.
It is. It's a different movie
altogether. They split two movies together.
What, they can't get their car to start or something?
Like all good horror films.
Yeah, like all good hybrid Mustangs.
they just don't start the way they should.
Because they don't exist.
In a bird apocalypse.
Right. So they just go to another room where another couple's probably have had sex recently.
Well, yeah, obviously. What else happens in those rooms?
And they gather up their weapons. What they had in the room were coat hangers.
Okay, good. Right. Which is what you go and start swinging at birds with.
Now, that should have been, truthfully, enough. That would have been my first instinct, was to just swing something at the birds and they fly away.
Shoo away. Yeah.
So I don't know why they didn't grab their own coat hangers as they left. They left unarmed.
We don't want to know what they did.
They run to their van, the other people's van. Inside that van, there are assault rifles and pistols.
Okay, at that point, should raise some alarm to the people that you just walked into their room with. They now have a full armory in their van. But I guess, what luck for them
in
an apocalypse.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, a birdemic.
Birdemic, yes.
That you would... The fates have shined upon them that morning when their next-door neighbors had assault rifles.
Yeah.
And they are really poor at shooting. I mean, again, I've never shot an assault rifle.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm thinking you just point.
Right. You just kind of spray the area. Right? It's automatic.
And birds, these birds aren't going anywhere quick.
No. No, they can't.
They're stationary. They are stationary in the air.
No matter how much the camera shakes.
The birds will stay.
The birds
will stay.
Stay put.
This is all true. It's all birds act.
This is a documentary. We see a lot of wide shots at this point of how many birds there are really terrorizing the bay. And in that, you notice that these birds dive bomb, make the sound of a kamikaze pilot crashing into the ground, and then explode like a jet would do if it crashed
just
into
explode.
A building.
Explode. Yes. Right. So
smoke and fire, guys.
This feels like a device made by a Batman villain. Like these birds are now lethal.
Did this, yes.
Right. The penguin armed birds with devices to blow.
I'm pretty sure that was
things. Yeah.
On one of the shows.
Oh.
Yeah.
Someone checked that for us.
then they're just driving around shooting out willy-nilly out the windows. There are other drivers on the road.
There are, yeah. No one else is shooting at the birds.
Right.
No one else seems to be bothered by the birds.
If I was one of the other drivers who's actually heading back the direction they just fled from, I would be more concerned with the people shooting out of their windows. You know, I'm driving down the road in my Nissan Rogue with two kids in the car. I'm thinking, duck down, kids. We got to get off this freeway.
I think the first call would be to the police.
Right.
That there's a van driving at high speed, shooting at birds down the freeway. Someone please take care of this.
Oh, Lord. We happened upon a double-decker bus.
Oh, yeah.
Because we made it to England at
this
point. We
did.
Yes.
They found the only one.
And it's being terrorized by these birds.
Yeah, terrorized.
Sort of. It's being irritated by these birds.
Yeah.
Like, pound on the window or something. They'll probably go away.
You just stay inside.
Yeah. But no, they make them all leave. And most of them say, I don't want to go.
Well, you know.
I'm going to stay in here.
I'm going to stay where the birds can't get me.
The moment they get out, what happens?
Well.
We find out the birds have a new tactic.
Start dropping acid on people?
It feels like we've been dropping acid this whole time.
I think
we don't know where it comes from. We don't know if they spit it out, if they poop it out. I'm glad we don't get that visual.
We do not. Well, they didn't have the budget for it.
Right.
11,000 would have got us that image. 10 grand, there's no way you can show that.
Now, I'm sure there's like an anime gif of that on Reddit somewhere.
Oh.
But this was, you were talking about 6 or 7 years ago, so.
Right.
And they just scream in horror and fall to the ground, but
it's just a new development with these birds.
Right.
And so really the question becomes for me, where did these birds come from? And why do they have acid that they can rain down upon us? These are two things that don't seem to be of concern for these people.
No, it's totally normal to them that birds might do that.
Right.
And then you hope as the viewer that you get answers when you stumble upon a man that's a scientist.
Mm.
Looking at some dead birds out in the sea. He tells us that, well, first he tells them to stay back, and they refuse. They just keep coming. And he's like, I told you to stay back. And they're like, what you doing?
In a birdemic, there are no rules.
Right.
You make those rules. No one can tell you what to do.
We find out that maybe global warming or, you know, environment issues is having an effect on these birds. He says they have bird flu.
Oh.
Now, bird flu is a real thing.
No, that is correct.
I've never heard any news reports about acid spewing birds because of bird flu.
I would be terrified if that was an actual report on the news.
Yeah, this movie would be scary at that point because you're like, I've heard of this.
This bird flu does sound dangerous.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'm just like, well, I better not eat chicken for a few weeks while they get this under control.
Which they will.
Yeah.
We could take care of that.
Yeah.
But there's nobody helping these people.
No.
It's just these people.
It's just them in their own little sad existence. Until you find the car that has dead people strewn about and kids hiding in the trunk and under the car. I understand the under the car thing. Like she hid under the car because the windows were down or whatever. How'd that kid get in the trunk?
I feel like that was a poor parenting decision. Or good.
Or he was being rescued from a kidnapping by the birds.
Maybe this is a whole different story.
Yeah.
And the kid was still scared that he didn't want to tell anybody.
Right, exactly. Because he was sure as heck happy to be with these new people after his parents, supposed parents, torn to shreds by eagles and vultures.
This kid's a mastermind. Maybe he's the problem.
This kid caused the birdemic, I think.
He's just excited.
He's one of those kids that like calls the cops on his own parents when they threaten to send him to his room. He planned this whole thing.
This kid. Wow.
Okay, so now I have a new respect for that kid.
Right, well, if you watch it from that angle, wow, good for you. So at this point, they have a makeshift family.
Right.
With a Victoria's Secret model, a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to say billion, but we kind of
we debunked that.
Yeah. And then two children that they've never seen. But in a birdemic, you just band together.
Right.
So I think for the rest of the film, they just drive around.
They drive around. They get out of their car.
Which doesn't seem smart. Why don't you just drive to another town?
Why don't we just go into a forest?
Okay. Where birds might live.
And also, someone else might live.
Ahoy there.
What's that sound?
Let's get ready for Cage Fight.
This is Fight Night.
Okay, so for our first segment, where we take Nicolas Cage and put him into films, not to necessarily make them better, but just because we want Nick Cage in these films.
Let's be honest. It will, no matter what we do in this movie, no matter what, it's going to make this movie better.
I wouldn't be surprised with a lot of the films that we do if Nick Cage was in them. Yeah. Like, I think that just seems normal. But in this film, with this family driving and then getting out of their car and decide to walk into the forest, there's a man by the name of Tom Hill. And Tom Hill lives in the forest. And does he has a treehouse?
I guess so. Or he just lives in the trees.
I think maybe he just lives in the trees.
He's like Tarzan.
Yeah. And he doesn't have much to say. But I would be frightened by a man that lives in the forest. But he seems well-dressed.
Yeah.
Enough. He doesn't seem like he actually does. I think he goes home.
Right.
This is just something they stumbled upon.
He's wearing like a white button-down shirt.
Yeah.
An interesting wig.
Very interesting.
I don't know if that's part of the character or if he just had to have a wig. He was a little self-conscious, and he's like, if I'm in this movie, you got to do something with
it. I need a wig, right. And so if that man was Nick Cage, what a fun moment that would be for them to walk into the forest after an hour and a half of birds flying around spewing acid.
Right.
And you see Nick Cage. What a calming spirit that would be at that moment. But also, I feel like Nick Cage is insane. And so he would live in the forest in a bird apocalypse. And decide to... he doesn't really help.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't do much. And actually, they kind of just leave and wave, and they go back to their car.
He leaves because he says, I hear a mountain lion. I better go back to my home.
Oh.
And they're just like, okay, cool. And they stroll off as though a mountain lion is not something to be worried about.
These aren't parents. They just acquired two children. I would be frightened if I was a parent and this other guy who apparently lives in the forest is leaving to go home
right.
because of the mountain lion.
Yeah, he's not.
These guys are just like, well, if the mountain lion snatches one of these kids, it's one less mouth to feed.
Exactly.
Good for them. That would be my Nicolas Cage moment.
That's a very good one. Mine is a character that we haven't really talked about. He is the, I guess, best friend. He's another employee at this company, computer company, and he's Rod's friend, who is a little overexcited about sex in all manners. Everything he says has like an innuendo.
He lives at a hotel.
He's the man that was having the other man having sex at a hotel, a different hotel, I assume. I don't know. Maybe there's only one hotel in San Francisco.
No, there's no way.
Okay. So he's got his own girlfriend. She knows Nathalie, he knows Rod, and what a coincidence that those two crazy kids get together and they're already friends with this other couple, and they can go double date and go see An Inconvenient Truth and be
changed
from the inside.
That is an inconvenient truth right there. That is
a little too convenient of a truth. So this guy is, he's just, I don't know, he's got this testosterone level that I feel like Nick Cage could pull off.
Okay.
When they first get the $1 billion deal, his first instinct is to grab Rod's chair and hump it for a good 30 seconds. Violently hump his chair.
Right.
While everyone else is high-fiving and clapping.
You know, normal things.
Normal
he,
things.
He just...
his first instinct is, you know, a dog in heat.
Right. Which is basically, I feel like, the director's notes for his character.
Right.
Is play this male as if you were a dog in heat.
This is a character that exists outside of this movie as well. Wynn's first film has an identical character, the best friend who's addicted to sex.
Wow.
And
is this a cry for help for him?
I feel like it might be. I don't know if he wants a friend that has had sex and knows what that's like and is so excited for it, or if James Wynn is that guy.
Is he married?
No. Not as far
so
as
So there's a straight possibility that he has no idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like a 12-year-old
so
boy.
So when he writes these characters, it's wow. Yeah. It is like a 12-year-old boy.
Right.
And that's what gets it creepy.
Exactly.
And more creepy when he puts you know, Victoria's Secret models.
Right.
Doesn't work.
It's like everything he dreams of.
Is this Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? Is that his Mr. Hyde? this scary sex addict?
Yes.
We should keep him locked
up. I'm going to say yes. We'll send James Wynn a link to this podcast.
You might need to get some help, man.
Man, this movie is something else. But I feel like we've seen it before in a much better way.
I wonder what that could be.
Who done it?
Better.
I mean, could you even think of a movie mm-hmm. where birds terrorize people that could be possibly better than this? Has there been another film?
It's hard to say.
Right.
If you haven't been alive for the past 60 years.
Yeah. I think we're all in agreement here.
The big elephant in the room.
It would be Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds.
Oh, that would be one.
Yeah. 47 years later after The Birds.
Yeah.
Apparently they come back in a birdemic form.
Yeah, I wonder if they're the same birds in James Wynn's mind.
It might be. Because I feel like it takes place around the same area.
Right.
It has a familiar face, which is really weird.
It is really weird. Tippi Hedren, star of the original Birds, makes her way into this film in a really strange cameo. If you blink, you'll miss it. But in the hotel room with Rod,
gross.
When everyone else is paying attention to the woman in her underwear, which is, I'm sure, what James Wynn wanted, he still had to sneak in on the television.
Yes.
Tippi Hedren.
Why not?
And it's not a film with Tippi Hedren in it playing. Like, he went out and shot this footage of Tippi Hedren that he then put on a TV for 1 second to get her in his Birds movie.
I feel like that's a nod to the Birds. And good for Tippi Hedren to, you know, how do you think he approached Tippi?
Well, interesting thing. He probably approached her on the first movie that she did with him.
Oh my. this is a pattern. And Tippi needs to run.
I feel like Tippi is in his trunk right now.
Has anyone heard from Tippi in the last 6 years? I'm starting to get worried.
Oh, man. The very first film that James Wynn made is a little title called Julie and Jack. And I feel like it's something that we might have to conquer later in this series.
Sounds like fun.
Because it actually has really some mind-blowing twists, Shyamalan-esque twists.
Wow. As his first movie.
As his first movie. But she plays a pretty major role. She's the mother of one of the main characters.
Okay.
In that role, and she has a whole probably like 7-8 minute scene in that movie. You'd think if he's just that addicted with Tippi Hedren, and she apparently was also in his second film, and then this being the third, why not just keep giving her good roles? Maybe she could, you know, class the thing up a little bit. She at least could make a, you know, smart little smirky comment about birds, like,
yeah.
It's always birds.
Yeah, like as she's driving back into town or something.
Right.
He missed a big opportunity there.
Yeah, yeah.
If you know her, and she was in your previous two films, and you're making a film, I'm guessing an homage,
to the film that she was
starring in, you might want to put her in.
Yeah.
Like, maybe the mom, maybe anything.
Right.
But not just a couple seconds on the TV that you...
Right. Because the mom in this movie...
Well.
She's not the greatest actress in the world.
No.
She kind of is on the lower end for this film.
Which is tough to say.
Yes. So throw Tippi in.
Yeah.
Because you know he's not paying her. There's got to be something going on. But
there
not,
is something going on.
He can't pay her.
No, there's... Well, not $10,000.
No.
Not with that kind of money. That money went all to the special effects people of the Birds.
Yes. There's so many things to say about this movie. We could go on forever and ever.
Yeah, I don't think we really touched on the end.
No.
Of this, where the birds just fly away.
Right.
And nothing's said. They are on the beach. After they meet Tom Hill,
yeah,
they drive to a beach and get out. And are they having a picnic?
Yeah. He finds some fish.
Okay.
He comes back and says, I found fish.
So in a birdemic, they go to a place, the beach, where there's...
it's wide open.
Wide open.
No shelter.
Where it's basically their a death wish.
Yeah, they have to walk down to the shore, down some stairs. So it's not even like a clear run to the car.
they are taking all chances with this new family.
Climb a bluff.
And then the birds come, and then they leave.
Yeah.
They don't... They just... And we're left not wanting more... But wondering what the message was.
Right.
And if this was about global warming, did someone else in the world solve that problem? Because it wasn't Rod.
Right. And I'd like to think that's true, because maybe this is just a little vignette that we're getting a glimpse into one person's life during this birdemic.
What a great movie. See, if he played it like that, wow.
Yeah. And then we would probably, though, find out that it happened, that something happened, and then...
Right.
But no, we're left with 7 minutes of flying away.
You don't even get like a crummy turn on the radio and hear somebody say, the birds are leaving because of this. You don't even get that. We're just left with, how long is the sequence?
They walk out onto the beach and see them flying away. And then they walk all the way to the ocean.
Okay.
And watch them fly away, and then the credits roll.
And they're still...
And it's about 6 or 7 minutes of the birds flying away. They barely get smaller, because that would involve, you know, adjusting the image.
Editing.
Yeah. So we don't get an answer, but we do get a word of wisdom.
Maybe some words to live by.
Words to live by. Words to live by. Who you got in your ear?
Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
I know that we didn't get a message, but I'm sure you have some words to live by from this film.
I do. Because I feel like one line in this whole film sums up what everyone is thinking and feeling.
Mm.
Nathalie simply says, I wonder why they stopped.
Don't we all? I am also wondering why they stopped.
I'm wondering months later, after the first viewing of this, why they stopped. I have gotten nowhere. It's not... I have some favorite films, Donnie Darko being one of them.
Right.
That's a movie that opens up a lot of doors to questions. You can think back on them and ponder and then maybe come to conclusions. This is more confusing than Donnie Darko.
Wow. And that is... You could double stamp that.
Yeah.
You could double stamp that. That is incredible. The other thing that I like to say is there's a birdemic too, so they didn't fix this problem.
They didn't stop.
They just went away.
Right.
To get more acid or something.
We haven't yet watched that. We don't know if it still takes place in San Francisco or elsewhere.
Oh, we could do that for you guys someday.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we will.
I don't want to watch this movie ever again. The words that I came up with,
yes,
to live by. Is from Rod.
He's full of gems.
He really is. And on the phone call asking this Victoria's Secret model out, mm-hmm, on their first date.
Yeah.
Their first date.
This is his first phone call, I'm pretty sure, to her, right?
I think ever. Phone call ever. I don't think he's ever talked on
the phone.
They
traded cards when they bumped into each other.
You know, as people do in 2010. She drops this amazing job opportunity where she becomes a Victoria's Secret model.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know... Rod has been waiting for his whole life this moment. He says, I think you'd look good in those lingerie. I think you'd look good in those lingerie.
That's not how you speak English.
No, but they're going to go out to
a Vietnamese
restaurant. And they're going to hang out with with their friends and family.
Just family.
Just family.
Hanging
no friends.
Out with their family. Having ourselves a party.
Having ourselves a party.
In those lingerie.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast.
We did.
We did.
More than we enjoyed Birdemic.
Absolutely. I would listen to this podcast multiple times before I watched Birdemic one more time. We will be back next week with a new video where we will... Oh, it's Halloween.
Yeah.
Ooh, spooky.
Yeah. Spooky, scary.
Spooky, scary times with the Halloween. We have actually a video and a podcast on the same day. We are double dipping on the Halloween treats.
That's a good way to say it.
Well,
reach in that pillowcase and... grab a Kit Kat.
We will, but after that, we'll be back in November.
We'll be back the first Monday. So you're going to get two weeks in a row of new videos. So.
Gosh, you guys are spoiled.
Yeah, you are. Don't eat all that candy at once, because I'm not taking you to the dentist.